So today, we begin looking at covetousness, and it's a subject that is not often talked about. And the interesting thing, you know, as I prepared these classes, you learn things as you prepare the classes, and then when you go back and prepare for the particular class, you learn even more. And what I have learned, and it is obvious to me now what the author of the book has done, is I have learned how much each of these sins that we talked about is tied together. And the subject of covetousness is not talked about. Things that covetousness produces are more so than the word. We just don't use that word anymore. And when you think about covetousness, you think about our society. It's driven by covetousness. Society tells us that how much we have will determine our importance and our worth. The more we have, the more important we are in the eyes of the world. And so we fall into that trap. You've heard it said that people buy things with money that they don't have for things that they don't need to impress people they don't even know. And when you think about that, it's ridiculous. That's a ridiculous statement for someone to do those, to fall into that type of trap. And we'd say, well, that doesn't happen to me. And it's already begun. Advertisers spend billions of dollars to get your attention, to entice you, to spend money. And with credit, you don't have to have money. You just put it on a card. But at some point, that bill's going to come due. But it puts us in a lifestyle that we can't afford, and in a lifestyle that we don't need. Someone asked Warren Buffett, everybody in the room knows who Warren Buffett is. And someone asked Warren Buffett how much money he needed to make. And Warren's response was, just a little bit more. No, not satisfied, never satisfied, not content. Got to have a little bit more. This is why you have gambling. This is why gambling exists. It becomes addictive. Oh, if I put one more, if I go one more time, if I pull that bandit arm one more time, it's going to cash out for me. And you see people spend their last dime on a lottery ticket. So if we look at the word covetousness, if you wanted to define covetousness, what would you say?
To desire something very intensely that somebody else has.
Okay. An overzealous desire? Yeah. Something that's out of not ordinary. It's extraordinary. Covetous literally means more to have. And the Bible is full of examples of individuals that were covetousness, that were covet. Yeah, how do you say that? That were covetous. You leave the ness off. The greedy desire to have more. Why is the desire to have more a sin? Is it a sin? The desire to have more? The desire to do better? When it interferes with your ability to serve one another, when it interferes with your ability to serve God, it becomes sin. And so, why do you think that covetousness is dangerous? Because it is. We don't talk about it. Number one, we don't talk about it. It's dangerous. It sneaks in. And we're going to look at people that were covetous that we perhaps hadn't thought of as being covetous before. But they were. Covetousness hides. Where does covetousness hide? That's right. It hides in the heart. And it's real quiet. It's real quiet. It tricks people into making harmful and destructive choices. It hides unnoticed. It ruins relationships. It leads one to be dishonest. Disruptive behavior causes disruptive behavior. And it destroys contentment. You know, when I think that I have to keep up with somebody, I lose my contentment. How can I get that? You know, my neighbor's lawnmower cuts 4 inches a swath more than mine. I need to get a bigger mower so I can mow my yard as fast as he mows his. That kind of thing. There's several things that are wrong with covetousness. The first thing is that it keeps evil company. And we want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Where Paul writes to the brethren at Corinth, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor the drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." There's a list of things that describe people that are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And I look at that list, and as is sometimes our tendency, and I think that we need to guard against it, shield ourselves against these sorts of things. We check boxes. We check boxes with regard to our attendance, with regard to our worship, with regard to our helping out in the effort, whatever that might be, teaching classes. We check that off. I was here at 9 a.m. this morning. Check. I'm here for Bible class. Check. I'm here for the 10:30 assembly. Check. I partake of the Lord's Supper. Check. I showed up on Wednesday night. Check. We check boxes. And if we check boxes, you know, then we feel good about what we've done. I think we can do the same thing with 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators. Check. That's not me. Nor idolaters. Check. That's not me. Nor adulterers. Check. That's not me. Nor effeminate. Check. Nor homosexuals. Check. You're getting the idea. We get to covet. We're going to skip covetousness. We're going to move on. Drunkard. not a drunk, check. Revilers, I'm not that. Swindler, I'm not that. I don't know how many check marks we got right there, but only one we avoided was covetous for a reason. Because we don't think we are. We don't think we are. We don't think we're covetous. Anybody in the room think they're covetous? Ever been covetous? Probably so. You see, part of it is recognizing and understanding what it is. You see the company, though. The author of the book talks about the company that covetous people keep. The list. And that's evil company. That's not company we want to keep. Those are not things that we want to do. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul, talking to the brethren at Ephesus. Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. And verse 3, but immorality and impurity or greed, covetousness, must not even be named among you as is proper among the saints. So we can't give the impression that we are. We don't want to leave that impression with people. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 2, it says, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money. There's covetous right there. Boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That's the company that the covetous keep. Turn over to Matthew chapter 20. And look and see what's going on here in Matthew chapter 20. In Matthew chapter 20, the discussion is in and around verse 20 is about position. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, came to Jesus with her sons, bowing down and making request of him. And he said to her, what do you wish? And she said to him, command that in your kingdom these two sons of mine may sit one on your right hand and one on your left. What did she want? She wanted her children to have preferential treatment. She coveted those spots. That's what her actions say. Her actions say that's what she wanted. She wanted one son on the right hand and one on the left hand. We've got to be careful. She's got to be careful. And it doesn't matter that, because someone could say she was innocent in that. I don't know where you read that, but it says this is what she asked. This is what she asked him. And that's what I know. What about Peter? What about Andrew? What about Philip? Bartholomew? What about those guys? No, that's what she wanted. She wanted that for her children. You look in Luke chapter 12 and you have the rich fool, the guy that built his barns, had barns and had enough, and tore down his barns to build bigger barns. You know, the man was full of pride. Full of pride. And how pride led to covetousness. He had things he could have done with his abundance, but he chose not to do it. He chose to keep it to himself. And so you see how a prideful person is a covetous person. You see how they're just joined and bound tightly to one another. Anybody have any comments with regard to the evil companionship covetous has with other sins? Anybody at all?
Sometimes people think that covetousness is not as bad as murder or whatever. But with God, sin is sin. And we must pay a closer attention to what we think and feel.
You know, that's a good comment. I'm glad you made it. Because just as bad as we are about checking boxes, we're equally as bad about rating sin. These are the bad sins. You know, we talked about last week, I believe it was last week, we listed the works of the flesh, and the first four works of the flesh had to do with lust of the flesh, adultery, fornication, immorality. And we spend all of our time talking about those first four in Galatians chapter 5. And very little time spent on this right here, covetousness. It just gets overlooked. Yes, sir. And I had thought about that, not at the time when we were talking about the lust of the flesh, but I thought about that when I was looking at covetousness, and how that's what happened, but we didn't say anything about it at the time. That's the problem I'm talking about right there. We've got to bring in everything. We've got to tie it all together so that we can better understand it. And I think we have a better understanding of what covetousness is, having studied and prepared for this particular class. Recognize it and see it. Yes, sir. James?
To piggyback off of Mr. Stover and support what you're saying, how many times in reading the Bible when the word covetousness comes up, that there are other sins listed with it, including murder, including theft, including lust? I mean, we read multiple times, as you've already read this morning, covetousness is mixed in with a list of sins. So going back to God doesn't separate them out. A sin is a sin, whether we consider it to be a little or a big one. Covetousness is right there with murder and everything else.
That's right. And so to the point where we have a mindset, as Brother Stover said, we have a mindset that says some sins aren't as bad as other sins. But yet it's listed right there with things that we would recognize as bad sins. I think I called them big sins in the first class. Big sins and little sins, you know. And we have to change that way of thinking. And that's not an easy thing to do. It's easy to overlook that because it's not as readily visible. It's hidden. And just shows up. When you think about, but covetousness is rooted in so many of the sins that are committed. And so some sins that were prompted by covetousness. Could you give me one sin that's prompted by covetousness? Ananias and Sapphira. We can go there. Acts chapter 5. You look at Acts chapter 5 and Ananias and Sapphira. What were they guilty of?
Holding back some of the money that they sold their house
for.
What were they guilty of?
Deceit.
They were liars. They presented themselves to be something that they weren't. They were doing something that they didn't do. That's what they did. And that's in Acts chapter 5. And so, you see, covetousness gives way to lying. And had they not been covetous, they wouldn't have lied. Judy?
What they coveted was the praise of other people. They wanted the praise instead of the other people. That's what covetousness means. I want something that they have, and I don't want them to have it. I want either. Did you hear that?
Yes, ma'am. I thought you had more. Okay. Thank you, Judy.
It really is a description of our world in terms of the attitude of me first. You see it everywhere. You see it driving in traffic where the person wants to be first and cuts in front of
you. So just with what's just been said, you can see how covetousness has infiltrated our lives. It has. It's everywhere. Everywhere you turn, you see it. James?
What did he say? To say that the scribes and Pharisees also coveted and desired to be served and worshiped.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jesus came along, it only pushed that desire even more within them.
That's true. You know, I was kind of surprised that our author didn't use Ananias and Sapphira as that particular example of lying. Our author used Gehazi, and Gehazi was a servant of Elijah, and Elijah had told Naaman what he needed to do in order to be cleansed of his leprosy, and Naaman wanted to pay Elijah, and Elijah wouldn't take anything. And when Gehazi saw that Elijah didn't take anything, he thought, I'm gonna get some of that. And so he went and caught Naaman, right? And he told Naaman, he said that essentially Elijah changed his mind. And so Naaman wanted to give him the money and the clothes in the first place, and so he took it. And of course, we know the end of that story. And because of Naaman's lying, he coveted that money, and he coveted those garments enough to lie to receive it. And so we see that lying is produced through covetousness. What about another one? Another sin that is produced by covetousness. That's a good one, lying. Anybody? Adultery, okay. And an example?
David,
we mentioned a minute ago, I can't remember who brought it up, Wayne, I think, brought it up about someone, David, coveting Uriah's wife. Yeah. And that led to, sorry, Mitchell, it was you. Oh, everybody recognized Mitchell. No, but that David coveted Uriah's wife, and what that led to? It led to deception, led to murder, death of a child. It affected David's family for the rest of his life. It didn't just end. It wasn't one of those things. You know, we talk about these sins that are not, or they talk about with some forms of drug use. It's not a, it doesn't affect anybody else, just affects me. It doesn't just affect you. And we see that in this particular example.
And I think the other part of that too, Stephen, is that David had everything, right? But he wanted more. So there's no upper cap. Even people that look like they have everything, they still have it. They still want more.
That's right. I mean, we've seen it in a servant, right? In Gehazi, we've seen it in landowners. In Ananias and Sapphira, we see it in a king, in David. Covetousness. Any other examples that you might have? Sins that covetousness leads to. What about theft? Make you steal. Got to have it. Smash and grab. That's what it's called. You know, walk down the road. You got your computer or your phone on your dash or on your center console, bust out the window and grab it because got to have it. I want that. You think about Achan in Joshua 7 when the children of Israel had destroyed Jericho and then they were on a super high and then they were going to take out. They had instructions to utterly destroy the city of Ai. Everything. Destroy it. And they didn't do that. They didn't all do that, did they? Achan didn't. Achan took it and hid it in his tent. He took gold and silver and put it in his tent and covered it up. And that created problems for Israel.
It caused lives.
It did. It did cost lives, but we just talk about don't steal. You see, we talk about don't steal and don't do this, and covetousness is the root of that. And for so many things, you know, they talk about when you have weeds in your yard, and I've got weeds in my yard. You got to take a shovel, and you got to dig it out, and you got to get the root, right? You got to get the root because that's the source. That's where it all emanates from. The root system is the life system. It's the seeds that produce, that spread, but it is the root that gives it the. It's the life source, and so we need to think about covetousness. And if we think about covetousness, we will eliminate the sin of stealing. Stealing is a symptom of covetousness. You see how important it is to talk about covetousness? I mean, unfortunately, I can probably count on my hands the number of times I've heard lessons on covetousness. It gets mentioned, but it doesn't get looked at. You know, it's almost like we read the Bible, but we don't read the Bible. You understand the connection I'm trying to make there. Covetousness calls one to betray. Betray your friends. Betray your leader. Right? Isn't that what Judas did? Judas did it for 30 pieces of silver. For 30 pieces of silver, he betrayed Jesus to the Jews. Murder leads to murder. Billy mentioned a minute ago that the sin of Achan caused the death of a lot of his brethren. You look at 1 Kings chapter 21 and you have Ahab, story of Ahab. And Ahab wanted Naboth's Naboth's vineyard. He wanted it for his garden because it was close to his castle, to where he stayed. And so, you know, Ahab apparently didn't want to walk very far to get to the garden to pick vegetables or whatever. But that's why he wanted Naboth's vineyard, so it would, because it was close, it was handy. And you know, Naboth wouldn't sell him the piece of property. Ahab offered him money, offered him a bigger prize of land if he wanted. Whatever he wanted, Naboth wanted that vineyard. Anybody know why Naboth didn't sell it? I'm sorry, Luke? I'm outside voice, brother.
He would have broken the law of Moses.
That's exactly right. Leviticus talks about the selling of your land. You didn't do that. And if you did it because you were poor or something, the whole big several chapters talking about that process. But see, Naboth knew the law. And he says, God forbids me for doing that. I would transgress God if I sold you that. And Ahab didn't care. And so he sulks and goes home, and Jezebel sees him acting, pouting, and asks about it, and she saw to it that Naboth met his end. And then Ahab got his garden. Yes, sir.
Going in a little farther to the separating of brothers, going back to the rich fool in Luke chapter 12, it all starts in verse 13. It says, "Then one from the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.'" So here you have siblings essentially fighting over money. And that leads into Jesus talking about covetousness and the building of the barn, destroying the barns and building it. You were wrong.
I have that written down as one of my examples. I wasn't going to talk about it, but thank you. I appreciate you bringing it up because it's worth bringing up. It's one of those things that we read, and when we read it, we don't really think about covetousness. We don't think about it. I don't. I hadn't. Till I started looking at covetousness, and I looked at that, and I thought there's a problem there. There's a problem with both those boys, and both those brothers, with regard to what they think they're due. Yeah, what they think they're due. This is mine. You ever had that? It happens. There's so many examples that we could talk about with regard to sin that covetousness makes provision for. And so when you read your Bible and you read about individuals that are caught up in sin, you should take the time to see how other sins are tied into what's going on with these particular individuals. Another thing that covets, anybody else have any other examples that they want to bring up? Yeah. So Balaam, that's another example of that. It's before preparing for these classes, I didn't realize how much covetousness, how prevalent it was in the Bible. I knew it was listed, as James pointed out earlier, you know, in works of the flesh and those lists of sins in various places there in the New Testament, but it's way more prevalent than just those spots. And when we read our Bibles, we need to make sure that our minds are open to understanding fully what's going on. Okay, and what time we have left, we'll talk about covetousness causing people to depart from the faith. If you turn over to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's start at verse 6. But godliness actually is a means of great gain. We would do good to remember that when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering with these, we shall be content. If we have food and covering with these, we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and harmful desires will plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs. So the love of money is the root of all evil, and the love of money is described as covetousness. Covetousness is the root, as we've already alluded to so many different sins. It gives way to so many different sins that we need to recognize. It brings suffering upon loved ones. In Proverbs, Solomon, a man that had everything, from the world standard, in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 27, he who profits illicitly troubles his own house, but he who hates bribes will live. So, covetousness. You look at that and you say, covetousness brings trouble to your house. That's what it does. Does anybody have any comments at that? Billy, yes, sir. We do. You know, I'm reminded when we talk about this sort of thing, I'm reminded of Paul, who was a person that was content. He might not have cared for some of the things that were happening to him, just like we wouldn't, but he was content. And the wonderful thing about Paul and the example that he left us was he didn't let his circumstance dictate how he was going to be. He already knew how he was going to live. And it's not I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And regardless of the circumstance, that was Paul's mantra. And we would all do good to look at Paul in that perspective. It'll help us in this life. And so we'll conclude our class with that. Thank you for your comments. And Wednesday, we will talk about how to overcome covetousness.